Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Welcome to the Road of Correction Show with your host, Ricardo Bezalel.
Have enough words to describe how thankful, how grateful we are to you. Sometimes we are overcome by the weakness of the flesh, to lose sight of the greater glory that lies ahead of us. Sometimes because this world and its corruptibleness babysits us, and we get blinded from the things, the price of the mark of the high calling, the glory that is going to appear with you on the day of reckoning. But because you love us,
because you love us,
because we are your sheep, before we came into this world, and you wrote us in the book of life, you appointed us unto life, you elected us beforehand, you predestinated us that we should become the children of God, and you are patient towards us, you are long-suffering toward us, you continue to bring us to the right way, the way of life. This is yet another moment that we shall sit on the King's table and partake of his divine bread. And we are grateful, Lord, for this great opportunity. You have taught us, Lord, that we need to appreciate every day longer, every hour longer, every minute that we are still in this tabernacle. And you are still
Welcome to the Road of Correction program with your host, Ricardo Bezalel. And that song we just finished playing there is called Because You Love Us. Jesus loves us so much. And that was the sounds of Ruth and Boaz singing for us. Because you love us. He loves us. He loves you. And he wants you to know him correctly so that you're not deceived.
Yes, yes. In our discussion today, we're going to be focusing on the changing of seasons. That the seasons always do change. In life, things change. In life, the progress of making progress, the progress of making progress means there's going to be change. And change, when it does come, it comes with its own standard of demand on your life, on your perspective, on the things that you do or don't do, or the things which you are now doing, which you didn't do before, or the things you no longer do, which you used to do before. There's always that constant modeling where or molding and modeling and where you are supposed to be doing like this now, because before you were doing like this and it wasn't working, and now you're doing like this and it's working, and all sorts of things. Yeah, change is a process, because even now when you look yourself in the mirror, you can tell that you're changing. You know, you're changing, because that's not how you used to look 10 years ago. So we are going to go to Book of John chapter 4, where there was a woman of Samaria there, and she was about to encounter a change in her life. And when the change came, it came when she didn't expect that a change would come that afternoon. She was a woman who was despised, and she only went to the well to get water in the middle of the afternoon, which means she was hiding from something, where she didn't want to go to the well when everybody else was there. Why? Because they were talking about her. They would say, this is the woman who took my husband, this is my woman who took my boyfriend, because hey, she had had 5 husbands and the 6th one was not even a husband. Can you imagine? Those men whom she was dating, obviously they probably had somebody else as their girlfriend at the time, or wife, or whatever was going on. And then she came along and swept this guy away. And so the women, the other women, will be like, ah, this is the enemy of of all decent women in the community, because she is the one who is always taking our men, and now she's got on wife, on husband number 6. And maybe one of the women will be like, but I've not even had one husband, and she's had 6. What does she do? What does she have that I don't have? Well, how come she's got this kind of things happening to her? You know, you read in the newspapers and you on the internet even, and you see that some of those famous actors, they've been married 7 times, they've been married 5 times, they've divorced 14 times, and they're thinking like, hey, some women have not even got one marriage proposal, and here is somebody who is divorced 4 times already, and she's on 5 times, and she's on husband number 6. How does that work out? life can be unfair sometimes. And so she was running away from the gossiping of other women like that. I wonder, in your own life, what kind of things do you hide from other people? What kind of things do you want to do at your own convenient time, where you think like, okay, if I do it this way at this particular time, it's unlikely that I will meet anybody who is going to find out about who I am and what I'm doing now and who I am now and all that. So, yeah, it is part of what happens in life. So in John chapter 4, this woman of Samaria, she goes to the well in the middle of the afternoon when the sun is blazing hot. Nobody goes to the well at that time, because at the time you'll be sweating and it's hot. But she knew that at that time, that's when nobody's there at the well, and I can get my water, go back to my husband number 6, and be happy with my husband number 6 without anybody bothering me at the well. So, but on this day, she encountered the Lord himself. Jesus was there waiting for her. He knew she was coming, and he prepared the platform for her to arrive with the disciples not there, because he sent them away to go and shop for bread. 12 men being sent to fetch bread. How is that possible? But the Lord wanted it to happen that way, because that's what he had planned. Now, this woman, she then arrives at the well, and they start talking. Jesus says, give me some water, and she's saying, you know, what do I have to do with you? You know, you Jews don't have any dealings with Samaritans. How is it that you're asking me for some water? What do you want from me? But Jesus goes on, and they discuss about this mountain, that mountain, and the type of worship which is acceptable and all that. And at the end of it all, the woman says to him, on verse 10 of John chapter 4, Jesus answered and said unto this woman, to her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that says unto thee, give me to drink, and thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Hey, he would have given you living water. That's the number one thing which people are not in these days where we are now. They don't really know what it is they are seeking from the Lord. He said, you would have asked, and he would have given you living water. But the things which you go to church to get today,
Are you going for the living water? Do you even know what that living water is? And the woman says unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then would thou give this living water? Thou art greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself, and his children and his cattle. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Yeah, okay. Whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, he shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman says unto him, Say, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come either to draw. And Jesus said unto her, Go get thy husband. Go and come hither and come to me. And then, so before we explain what's going on here, let's break it down a bit. So Jesus is talking about the living water. The living water, at this particular time, Jesus was just preaching. He was not able to give that living water at that time because he had not yet risen again from the dead. Because the living water is an allegory, is an imagery of everlasting life, and which comes through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit couldn't have come to indwell this woman of Samaria because Jesus himself had not yet defeated death, hell, the devil, and the grave to come back from the death with having obtained the keys of hell and death and declare, as he says in the book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, he says, Behold, I am he that liveth and was dead, and I've got the keys of hell and of death. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. So this Jesus, before he rose again from the dead, he could not give eternal life. Eternal life only comes when he is resurrected from the dead, because the eternal life comes from the presence of his resurrection power, because his resurrection power is the power of the Holy Spirit. But he was laying the groundwork. He was laying the groundwork upon which this woman, if she believed, should continue believing until such a time when Jesus has risen from the dead. And then will she get that power from on high, by which salvation itself would then become be established in the New Testament church. So when Jesus says to her, Go call thy husband and come hither, what that means is that a human being is in two parts. You are a spirit who lives in a body, and your body is the wife, and your spirit man is the husband. Your body is the Eve in the garden, and your spirit man is like Adam. That's the allegory which your human existence is teaching you. And what that means, when Jesus says, Go get the husband, he was talking about your spirit self. Is your spirit self actually saved? Is your spirit self got the salvation which it requires? Because salvation is spiritual. It is not physical. Salvation is spiritual. So it is a spiritual enterprise. It is a spiritual endeavor. And the only way to get it is to get it spiritually. So when Jesus says, Go get your husband, he is trying to make this woman see that at this particular time, salvation was not, it was not able to come to the human spirit, because the human spirit still had the devil ruling over that human spirit. Because remember, when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, he ran away from God. He was afraid of God. He became adopted by the devil, and he was evicted from the garden, and he was now under the sway of the devil, which is why in the second temptation the devil said to Jesus, Bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the wealth and all the riches of this world and all the power of this world, because it has been given to me. And he says, and Jesus did not argue with him, because it was true, because Adam had surrendered himself to the devil, because this world had been given to Adam, and Adam is then the one who bowed down to the devil by eating of the tree of the knowledge of
good and evil. And when they did that, they bowed, they paid obeisance to the devil, and that is how they became adopted by the devil, and they became children of the devil, and that is why they were evicted from the Garden of Eden. But in order for God to reverse that and reestablish another garden, he had to send his own son, his word, in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, on account of sin, so that the righteous requirement of the law may be fulfilled in those who are going to be of the New Testament, who walk not according to the flesh, but after the Spirit. Yeah? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes us free from the law of sin and death. And that sin, the sin of Adam, who bowed down to the devil and paid obeisance to the devil and ate of the tree of the good of the knowledge of good and evil, and he was taken over by the devil. But we are given the spirit of adoption, right, when we become into the garden of the New Testament church. So when Jesus is saying to this woman, go get your husband, he is trying to get her to the end of herself, to see that at that time she couldn't be saved. There was no way the Old Testament, she represented the Old Testament, there was no way the Old Testament was going to be saved. It had already had five husbands, which were the five books of the law of Moses, the Torah. And the Torah could not save the Old Testament. She kept struggling. She kept struggling to find fulfillment, but she couldn't. She now was on her sixth husband. And who was sixth husband? It was now the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, and the high priests now, the synagogue. They were no longer worshiping in the temple. They were now worshiping in the synagogue. You know, they'd left those things of the temple of Solomon, and they were not even bothering with that anymore. That was like husband number six. The first five husbands were the books of the law of Moses, the five husbands which couldn't satisfy this woman. And by satisfy, we mean what? That they couldn't give her salvation spiritually, because the Old Testament was captured by the devil, which is why Jesus had to be born of a virgin. He had to come with a human body, but without the bloodline of Adam, so that he could become the human sacrifice which the devil had no power over, and then satisfy the demands of the justice of God, that the soul that sinneth shall die. So when Jesus dies for humanity, he is in our place. And when he dies in our place like that, he is replacing the five husbands. He is replacing the husband number six. He is becoming the only husband there is who is able to get to the human spirit and give salvation there, because the Old Testament was only ending in the flesh and could not and cannot and shall not enter into the human spirit, because it has got no potency or power to do that. Which is why anywhere you see the law, or any religious law, you name it, whatever they call it, any religious law is only aimed at your flesh, and it has got no power to get to your spirit self. Why? Because the spirit man is a closed vault. And because the spirit man is a closed vault, those who try to get therein will never succeed except by the power of him who came to the earth and entered into a human body, yet without the bloodline of Adam, the first man. And the fact that he did that, as the word of God, which is the Son of God, because he did that, he is the only one who is qualified to penetrate and enter into the vault of the human spirit and deposit a seed of the power of his resurrection. As he says in the book of John chapter 6, that just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too should also walk in newness of life. Well, how do we walk in newness of life? By the presence of the Holy Spirit in our human spirit. For they that live according to the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So when Jesus is saying to this woman, go get your husband, he is making her realize that she's come to the end of herself. She cannot be saved by following the five laws of Moses, the five books of Moses, the Torah, which is the commandments of God, as he has given them to his servant Moses, including the Ten Commandments. They are included in those five, the first five books of the Old Testament, which is the Torah. And the Torah has got no ability Yeah, it has got no ability to give salvation. The law of Moses has got no ability to give salvation because it cannot penetrate to where the human spirit lives. So the first books, the first five books of the Bible, are what is called what is referred to the first the five husbands, which this woman was saying, what Jesus was saying, that you have had five husbands. Yeah, now you are in the synagogue, we are with the Pharisees, you are with the Sanhedrin, you are with the Sadducees, you are with the high priest, and you don't even care anymore about the law of the divine order of service in the temple. You don't care that anymore. So they continue talking, and Jesus says unto her, "Woman," that's in verse 21 of John chapter 4, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when neither shall in this mountain nor in that nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." So when he says this in verse 25, "You worship, you know not what, for salvation is the Jews, of the Jews," this statement still remains today as true. Many, many people worship what they don't know. They worship, they know not what, but salvation is of the Jews. And what is the, what does that mean when he says salvation is of the Jews? We find the answer when he says salvation is of the Jews. What is he referring to? What does that mean? We find the answer in Romans chapter 2, where he says, where is it now? He says, verse 28, from verse 27, "And he shall not, your circumcision," verse 27, "and shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfilled the law, judge thee who by the letter and who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? For he is not a Jew," that's verse 28 now of Romans chapter 2, "for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew," that's verse 29 of Romans chapter 2, "but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter." You know, in the letter, by saying in the letter, it means in the law, which means the first five books of the Torah, what we call the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, where the Ten Commandments are contained. So, but in the, it says, "For circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the law, or in the letter, or in the Old Testament, whose praise is not of men, but of God." So the circumcision, which is of the heart and of the spirit, that one is the one which receives praises from God. But the praises, but God doesn't praise the circumcision of the Old Testament or of the Torah. Why? Because it is the, it is just those first five husbands who couldn't give a proper marriage to this woman, and there is no salvation there, because the true salvation is spiritual. And any religious law out there, whatever name they give it, does not do anything for the human spirit. So they remain empty. They remain without salvation, because salvation is spiritual, and the laws which they follow, and people who are following the Ten Commandments, who are following the laws of Moses, who are following the Sabbath law, the regulations of the Sabbath, who are following the convocations of Israel, and people who are following the attributes of the Old Testament, by participating in tithing and first fruits and you name it, the things of the Old Testament like that, they don't have that salvation, because salvation is of the Jews, which is of the spirit and not of the law. You see, not of the letter, it is of the law. So my friend, I don't know where you come from. I don't know what you do at your gathering when you gather on the Sundays, but I am saying to you, be careful that you are not like that woman of Samaria who had had five husbands. you are still following the laws of Moses. You have had five husbands. Now you've got husband number six, who is not even your husband. And how is he husband number six? Because unlike those women of the woman of Samaria, who had the husband number six at home, the Jews themselves had husband number six at that time, as I said, in the institution of the synagogue, which was with the Pharisees, with the Sadducees, and the Sanhedrin, and the high priest, who were now ministering in the synagogues instead of in the temple. So in our day, husband number six are these congregations which call themselves churches, and but in reality the majority of them are actually shrines, where they teach people to follow the Old Testament and follow the laws of Moses, and they tell and impose themselves as spiritual fathers upon the congregation. Look, every seed produces after its own kind. That is a law which was established in the book of Genesis. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and spirit gives birth to spirit. Yeah. So there is no way that another human being who at one time could not dress himself. Now he is grown up with a little bit of a beard, and he says that he is now your spiritual father. He is husband number six, and you are the woman of Samaria who cannot get satisfied, who cannot have a content marriage, whose spirit is still unsaved and is still as raw and as dead as the spirit of Adam was when he sinned against God and ran away from God way back in the Garden of Eden. So my friend, in this new season where you are in your life, are you not the woman of Samaria? Yeah, you have got a church being led by a bishop. Where on earth have you ever seen in the scriptures? Where in the scriptures, not where on earth, because on earth there are so many shrines and congregations which are led by bishops. But you know what? That is not of the New Testament order. A bishop is just a caretaker, an administrator of some kind. He is not above the apostle. He is not above the teacher, the pastor, the evangelist. He is not above those. The bishop is supposed to be a clerk in the office, not the managing director. So if you've got a church which is led by a bishop or an archbishop, you are part of the woman of Samaria, and your salvation, my friend, is in doubt, because the order of divine service which you are following is not as narrated in the New Testament order, because according to the New Testament there is only the fourfold the ministry, which we find in the book of Ephesians. And if your church is not like that, then there is a big problem. And we find this in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 on verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Where is the bishop here? There is no bishop. So there is no reverend. So so if your church is led by an archbishop or a reverend or a bishop or even a priest, there is no priest here, according to Ephesians 4:11. Yeah. So and also, if your church is led by a prophet, that church is also part of the woman of Samaria. It's on husband number six, you see. But it's not that simple, because even some whose churches are led by pastors, who call them pastor this, pastor that, they still are of the woman of Samaria church, because they are still following the laws of the first five husbands. They still have got husband number six, in that they are calling themselves spiritual fathers over the congregation, and that is against the teachings, the order of divine service in the New Testament. So being a church which is of the the precedence of the woman of Samaria is very prevalent these days. And if you don't know how to tell the difference, then the likelihood is that indeed your church is indeed the woman of Samaria church. So Jesus then says unto to her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither this mountain or that mountain or Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We've spoken about that. And but verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. For the when the hour cometh and now is that the true worshippers of God shall worship him in spirit and in truth. It doesn't say the true praisers shall praise God in spirit and in truth. It says worship, and worship means intimacy. Worship means knowledge. So if you don't know whether your church is part of the woman of Samaria or not, it means you are ignorant. And what does the scripture say? My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. I do hope that, my friend, that you will take stock to see where your church is. Is it part of the woman of Samaria, or is it part of the New Testament church?
And we're going to go to another song, and again it's the sounds of Ruth and Boaz singing for us, the city of refuge. Jesus himself is the city of refuge, and we run into him, we run unto him, and we go into the New Testament church correctly, and we are saved. It's the city of refuge.
We have come to the city. We honor you today. We honor you, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You are our Savior, our King, our Master. Oh, you are our Redeemer, and you are our Hero. There is no one like you, Lord. You are uniquely unique. You are the best, with no comparison. We take great pride in you. You are a spiritual father to those that believe. And you are a father like no other father.
No other father like you, Lord.
Your love is unparalleled, yeah.
Your love is unprecedented.
The sacrifice, the sacrifice, yeah. Your love is unparalleled, yo.
Your love is unprecedented.
Yeah, the sacrifice,
the sacrifice,
the sacrifice,
the sacrifice,
the sacrifice, the sacrifice. I'm sacrificed,
sacrifice.
Oh.
We sacrifice and remember.
Listen. You are the only father who voluntarily died for his children in order to take away your life just to give it to your children. What a loving and what a living King that you are.
Thank you for the power that you yield.
Thank you for the power that you yield. Oh, for making it possible that we may find a sanctuary, yeah. That us the Gentiles which were far off might also find refuge in the city of refuge. You are that city, that sanctuary, oh King Jesus.
Yes, we are talking about the Woman of Samaria church, the type of church which is aligned with the Woman of Samaria situation. The Woman of Samaria, we know her from John chapter 4. She had had five husbands, and we said those five husbands, they represents the Torah, which is the first five books
of the scriptures, which the Jews at that time called the Torah. Even today they call it the Torah, and that is where the laws of Moses are incorporated, and that is where they find their sustenance in terms of spiritual direction, because they don't believe that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, that he is the Son of God who came to bring salvation to the earth. So our narrative today is to challenge you, my listener, my friend, that you need to take stock to see if your church is the Woman of Samaria type of church, or is it the church of the New Testament. If it is the Woman of Samaria church, you are in trouble, because your spirit man is going to remain unsaved. It is going to remain searching for the living water, which this woman said, "Give me also this living water, that I may no longer come here to drink, I may not come here to fetch again, so that I may not thirst again." And then when Jesus said, "Go get your husband and bring him to me," what he wanted this woman to see was that unless your spirit man is actually buried with Christ in baptism, such that as just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so you too should walk in newness of life. But then it's not that simple, because there are people who have been baptized, yet they are still not saved. What they called baptism was actually a dunking in water, because baptism is a ritual which has got to follow. Baptism is level 2 in the procedure of salvation. Level 1 is that the grace of God opens your heart for you to understand the scriptures and see that all the scriptures, they are about the salvation which is contained in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our King and our Savior and our God. And when your spirit man is opened up to that, to understand that, because the grace of God has opened the vault of your spirit man, you begin to understand that right from Genesis all the way to Malachi in the Old Testament, which are the 39 books of the Old Testament, those books, every page, every verse, every chapter, they are talking and they are playing the drama of the salvation which Jesus was going to bring by the power of his coming to the earth, by the power of his crucifixion and dying on that cross, by the power of his burial, and by the power of him going to hell and preaching to the souls which were in captivity at that time in what was called the Abraham's bosom. And then he leads captivity captive, and he gives gifts to men, as he says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, verse 10, 9, 10, 11. And then when he's done that, he takes this former Abraham's bosom all the way up, and he calls that the paradise. When he said to the thief, "This day you shall be with me in paradise." Paradise at that time was in the garden, in Abraham's bosom in the underworld. But when he rose again from the dead, he transferred that. It's no longer in the underworld now. It's now in the third heaven, which is paradise, where the apostle says, "I was caught up in the third heaven and saw things which I am not allowed to utter." So that is where paradise is. And for your human spirit to end up in paradise, my friend, the first port of call is information, is knowledge, is correct information, is correct knowledge. That is what is going to save you. That is what is going to bring salvation. That is what is going to bring the grace of God. Well, the grace of God brings you that salvation unto you. And then when it brings that salvation unto you, it then allows you to comprehend and apprehend and see and have insight and understanding of the narrative of salvation correctly, that is, so that you are not just dunked in water and you call yourself baptized, but in reality you are not even saved. Why? Because you've got the problem you have is that the Jesus whom you were preached, the Jesus whom they introduced to you, is not the true Jesus of the New Testament. is not the true Jesus who is pictured in the Old Testament. The true Jesus who is pictured in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, when that Jesus has come, he brings living water, which is the power of the Holy Spirit, or the power of his resurrection. And when he has brought that, he puts an end to the five husbands and husband number six. And he cleanses you and makes you a chaste wife who is ready to enter into the bride, into the marriage feast of the Lamb. You see, as the bride of Christ prepared and made ready, and which he continues to watch continually with the power of his word. So when he's doing that, he's preparing his bride for the day of the marriage feast of the Lamb. But those who are going to remain under the five husbands, which are the laws of the religious laws of the world and the religious laws of the Torah, or and the Old Testament itself is represented by those five husbands. So those who are going to remain under those five husbands, they are not going to experience salvation, because there is no way. When you're still under the sway of the five husbands, okay, you may have divorced them. They are no longer in your life, but the husband number six is incorporating all the five husbands into one. He is a representation of all the five husbands whom we have left. But now, because this husband number six is actually not your real husband, because he is in the flesh, but your real husband should be a spiritual husband, which is what Jesus has become. Yes, Jesus is become our spiritual husband. He has become our spiritual savior. He has become our spiritual king. He has become our spiritual high priest. He has become our spiritual Messiah. He is the Messiah. He is the high priest. Spiritually speaking, there is no other high priest. And he is the bishop of our souls. There is no other bishop. He is the savior of the New Testament church. So when you don't know these things, and then you are dunked in water and you say you are saved, my friend, go get your husband and bring him into the New Testament church by the grace of Christ, because you are still under the sway of the old husband, the husband number six. And husband number six is the number of man, because man, Adam, was created on the sixth day. And so six is the number of men. But remember, when Adam was formed, the dimension which he became active on the earth is that he needed a body. So God, through his word, which was the office of his son, he gave Adam a body. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, from the dust of the earth he formed the body of Adam, and then downloaded the spirit of Adam into Adam. And Adam was not coming from heaven, because creation did not happen in heaven. Creation happened here, where this dimension of where the planet Earth is. That's where it happened. So Adam did not come from heaven. He came from where God created the environment, from where God performed the craft of creation. That is where the spirit of Adam was. So he downloaded him into the body, or which he had created from the dust of the earth. And when he did that, it was on the sixth day. So husband number six is not only representing the flesh, he is representing also the dimension which says that in order for you to function here on this earth, you need your body. Yes, you do need your body to function on this earth, which is why demons are always looking for places to habitate and live in, because they need bodies, because this is a 3D world. So when you are in this 3D world, you got to be careful then that how do I do my stuff when I'm in this three-dimensional world? I need to be careful that I might peradventure do things in the flesh and think that they've got a spiritual meaning to them, and that they also have an impact in the spirit side. So when you get baptized without the knowledge of what salvation is, without the knowledge that as long as you are following the laws of Moses, you cannot follow Jesus. As long as you are tithing, you are not saved. You cannot follow the New Testament, which is as it was established by the Lord Jesus himself. You are outside that. You are not far. You are not far, but you are outside that. you are outside that because you are still cheating on this Jesus whom you say you love, but you are still cheating on him by having an affair with big old Moses, by following the laws of Moses and the tithing and whatever you do for with your big old Moses. But you need to stay on the side of the Messiah. You need to stay as a faithful bride to Jesus, because he is a jealousy husband, and we need to cleanse ourselves, because if we don't do that, we are in trouble. There was a situation where somebody else was given to a husband who was not there at that time, and then a dispute arose. Shall I go to my husband now? Shall I leave these things of the Torah, of the first five husbands? Shall I leave these things of the Old Testament and go to my husband straight away, since now I've been told about him? And I understand, because look, nobody here on earth today has seen Jesus face to face. We know him through somebody else preaching to us. We know him through hearing the gospel, the true gospel of salvation. So, in a way, we have not really met Jesus face to face yet. But we've heard about him, and we've seen the gifts which has given to our spirit, to our human spirits, and his Holy Spirit, the spirit of adoption. The Spirit himself testifies, for God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear, as Adam had the spirit of fear and he ran away from God. But we've been given the spirit of adoption, which is the power of his resurrection, right? And that power of his resurrection gets into our human spirit. And when it is inside our human spirit, what it does is it resurrects you from the death which Adam died, makes you alive spiritually. And because Adam died in fear of God, because he had submitted himself to the devil, and the devil knows there is only one God, and he trembles, and Adam started trembling as well, just as his father was trembling. His adopted father trembles at the name of God. So Adam started being afraid and trembling. But now we are adopted, we are given the spirit of the resurrection of Christ, and therefore we are taken away from the father of trembling, the father of fear, the father of chaos, the father of death, the father of darkness. We are taken away from that, and we are translated from the kingdom of the devil to the kingdom of his dear son. We are translated from the power of the devil unto God, and we are translated from darkness to light, from death to life. We no longer have those things which Adam had when he was in the garden. So when that has happened unto us, and we understand, and you understand that it is a spiritual thing within yourself to know that salvation is a spiritual thing. And because salvation is a spiritual thing, when your spirit is awakened to the fatherhood of God and to the newness of life, what do you say? You cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies. That's the Romans chapter 8, verse 15, 16, and 17 there. He testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs and joint heirs with Christ, that if we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. How do we suffer with him? We suffer with him by putting to death the deeds of the flesh. The desires of the flesh have got to be put to death. You got to overcome the desires of the flesh. Remember, we said Adam was created on day number 6, and day number 6 represents the flesh, and this woman was with husband number 6. Your flesh, my friend, your flesh is wanting to dominate your spirit, but it should be the other way around. Your spirit should be dominating your flesh, but because your flesh starts feeding when it is in the mother's womb, by the time you are born and you start to grow and become a mature person to understand the doctrine of salvation, the procedure unto salvation, your spirit man has already been running the race of living on this life, on this earth, and now dominates your body, dominates your spirit self. And that is wrong. It's an upside order, which is why Jesus said, even the one you have now is not your husband. So, my friend, your body is not husband to your spirit. It's the other way around. Your spirit is husband to your body. So, your spirit man is the one who should be ruling over
your body, your spirit, your flesh. But now, no, you are addicted to casual sex, you are addicted to fornication, you are addicted to pornography, you are addicted to masturbation, you are addicted to corruption, you are addicted to lust, you are addicted to gluttony, you are addicted to pride, you are addicted to filthiness, you are addicted to impure talk and all these kind of narratives which are of the flesh, which are inspired of the devil. That's where your inspiration comes from. And that is your husband number six. Your husband number six, my friend, needs to be called and to be brought before Jesus, to bow down and pay obeisance unto Jesus. Because he says, go get your husband and bring him hither. Bring him to me. So you need to bring your flesh, my friend. Your flesh needs to be brought unto the feet of Jesus. Your flesh needs to bow down to the Savior. Because your spirit man is the one which receives salvation. For they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now he, if you don't have the spirit of Christ, you are not of his. The scriptures are clear as that. But now we've got this narrative of now. We need to close this now. We've got this narrative of Rebecca in Genesis chapter 24. She, Eliezer, he comes from Abraham, and he comes to this place to where Rebecca was in Syria, there in Padan Aram. And there, what happens there, he meets Rebecca, and to cut a long story short, he identifies that Rebecca is going to be the husband, is going to be the wife for Isaac. And Isaac is not there, but Eliezer is there, and she is telling Rebecca about Isaac, who is not there. So you can see Eliezer is playing the role, the allegory, the type of Holy Spirit, who is then ministering the truth. When the Spirit of truth has come, he will take of what is mine and make it known unto you. He will not speak, but whatever he hears of me, he shall let you know. Right? That's what the Lord was saying in John chapter 14, describing the work of the Holy Spirit. So Eliezer at that time was playing a type of Holy Spirit, who is there to help us reveal the image and the picture and the procedure unto salvation, which the Savior Jesus Christ brings unto us. And that, my friend, that is what Eliezer was doing. And when Rebecca believed, and she was chosen to be the wife of Isaac, her family said, oh, we've seen the evidence of your salvation, that you are now been found to be going to become the wife of this rich prince who is out there somewhere, but we want you to stay with us. That was what her family was saying to her, but stay with us a little bit more, my friend. That is what the books of the law of the Old Testament will always say to you. No, it's okay. You can believe in Jesus, but keep the tithe. Stay with us. Stay with us a little bit more. You know, you can believe in Jesus, but keep the Sabbath. Stay with us. Stay with us a little bit more. That's what the Old Testament is always going to say to you, Rebecca. You are representing Rebecca. And the salvation has come to you now. Salvation has come to your spirit. And what are you going to do with your family? What are you going to do? The family said she needs to stay. She needs to stay with us just a little bit more. But there's come a decision. There's come to a time where you got to make a decision, right? So we join the story at Genesis chapter 24, beginning to read verse 54. And they did eat and drink, and he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night, and they rose in the morning. Weeping may remain for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So they remained, they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master, but joy cometh in the morning. My master cometh in the morning. I need to be going to my master now, he says. And her brother Laban and mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few more days, at least 10 days,
after that she shall go. And this is the struggle you are having, my friend, because your husband number six is telling you, stay with us 10 days. And 10 days represents the law of Moses. 10 days represents the law of the Old Testament order. And your family, your brother, and your mother are saying to you, stay with us at least 10 days. And you find that you can't leave them. You haven't made up your mind enough to say, this is it. I know that my Savior, my husband Isaac, my Savior, my husband Jesus is there in heaven. And this guy, Eliezer, who is the Holy Spirit, has come to take me to join my husband. I can't stay with my family anymore. I can't stay another 10 days. I can't keep the law of Moses anymore, because look, he's given me gifts, he has given me salvation, he has given me clarity of understanding, he has given me pure knowledge of who, what my master is like and who he is, and I'm sold out. I want to go and get married to this master. I want to this prince. And this is what Rebecca was saying within herself, and she made up her mind. But her family was not keen to let her go. They wanted her to stay with us at least 10 days. Stay with us according to the law of Moses. The law of Moses is represented by the number 10. So they are saying, stay with us at least 10 days, which means they are saying, though you now know about Isaac, though you now know about Eliezer, though you now know about Father God, who was represented by Abraham at that time, now you know about these people, the Father Abraham there, who has got a prince called Jesus, who is Isaac, and Eliezer here with the Holy Spirit, who is the servant of that household, has come to fetch you. But you know all that. We are okay with that knowledge, and they've given you the gift. You can see the gifts, but you know what? Don't bother about them. Don't hurry. Stay with us. Keep the law of Moses. 10 days. 10 commandments. Keep the law of Moses. No. You got to do like what Rebecca did. And what did she do? And they said, says at least 10 days after that she shall go. And the master, the servant, Eliezer, he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. Send me away, right? You are a church which is led by a spiritual father. You need to say, send me away. You know, you are a church which is under a church which is led by a reverend. Reverend is the name of God, my friend. There's no human being who is to be revered. They never did anything for you anyway. You need to say, send me away. I need to go to my master. So, and they said, we shall call the damsel, which means Rebecca herself, and inquire of her mouth. And they called Rebecca and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebecca, their sister, and Enes, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebecca and so forth. So Rebecca says, I will go. I will go. She didn't mince a word. I will go. What's your story, my friend? What's going to happen to you? Are you going to remain in that church of the Samaritan woman, where you keep fetching water, where you keep fetching water from the well like that? Or are you going to go? Are you going to go with Eliezer? Are you going to go with the Holy Spirit? Are you going to join the true church of the New Testament church and leave these things of the 10 days of Moses? Leave these things of the Old Testament order. Are you going to go with Eliezer? Are you going to go, or are you going to stay with your family? It's a decision which you have to make. My friend, Rebecca made a decision and says, I will go. Because she knew that her future did not lie at her father's house, at her mother and brother's house. Her future was with Isaac. Her future was with where Abraham was, not here on the earth. And that is where our problem is. You are so keen to please the people of the earth, you forget that the most important thing is not to go to a church where you came from, of your fathers, of your parents, and the church of your village or your race or whatever reason you have got for that attachment. That is not a good reason enough to stay there. Rebecca chose to
to say that though I grew up with my brother and my mother and my father and my family, but the time has come for me to go to my Prince Isaac and be and experience the riches of salvation, of eternal salvation. That is what is at stake, my friend. It's eternal salvation. So if you're gonna big up the church of where you come from, or for your family, or for your traditions, and dismiss or disrespect or have no respect or have no care about your eternal future, your eternal salvation, are you not a fool? The time cometh, my friend, the hour is now, that the true worshippers of God shall worship him in spirit and in truth. And Jesus is the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is the truth. The scripture says, and now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty for Rebecca to say, I will go now, I'm going. So you make your mind up, my friend. What are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your future? Where are you going? What is going to be the end story of your existence, of your pilgrimage on the earth? How is it going to end? What is it going to be like? My friend, the time is now to make sure that you don't belong to the church of the Samaritan woman. That you need to come to a point where you act like Rebecca and say, I will go, I will leave my traditions, I will leave the church of where I come from and go to the church where I am going, which is the church of the New Testament church, which is the church of the New Testament, which is the one which is going to usher us into paradise, the one which is going to usher us into the marriage feast of the Lamb, the one which is going to usher us into heaven itself, into the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name. We would very much like to hear from you. Please do get in touch with us on UK number 07460670044. Send text, WhatsApp, Telegram, or email us on roadofcorrection.tv@gmail.com.
Radio Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.